The Heart of Danger by Michael D. Cooper, Part 1, Under the Red Sun. Chapter 3, Tharsos Attacked. Instantly, Pleera took defensive action. Maximum power electromagnetic pulse, she commanded, and provided the proper coordinates. At the speed of light, the massive charge rolled over the invading Xenobot warships. Antimatter torpedoes launch. Pleera's voice was clear and determined. The electromagnetic pulse should overwhelm all electronics inside the enemy ships and make them completely vulnerable to the torpedoes that followed the pulse by a matter of minutes. Before the torpedoes could reach their targets, however, a hypertube opened and the Xenobot ships wavered, thinned, and disappeared. The alarm inside Tharsos quieted. Pleera stepped back a pace from the view screen, lowered her eyebrows, and pressed her fingertips together. She was puzzled. Those ships ought to have been immobilized by the pulse, she thought, and with all our precautions they ought never to have found us at all. The Xenobots must have some sort of detection apparatus inside the solar system, perhaps a network of very small sensors sent through hyperspace. We've kept meticulous vigil for any incursion, but we were looking for ships. Then she made an intuitive leap. The interference, when we brought the leaders from Earth and Almania. There was no reason for that to happen, but its characteristics matched what might happen if hyperactivity were being monitored. Pleera's eyes widened and her heart raced. Tharsos was in danger. The Xenobots know where we are. They wouldn't have sent just 4 warcraft against us. Those 4 must be the vanguard of a fleet. We stopped them so quickly that they hesitated to send the rest of their ships, but we can't be sure that we've stopped the attack. Her brief reverie complete, Pleera shouted her commands. Deploy the fire wasps. Deploy the battle spheres. Prepare for attack. Already on heightened security alert, the crews of these small but powerful and maneuverable warcraft were able to launch without delay. Within a minute of the command, the first of the fire wasps sped out of the huge airlock at the pole of the asteroid, each carrying 1 human pilot. The Amanian battle spheres followed the ranks of the fire wasps, each with a command pod at its center for the pilot and a small battle pod for a laser gunner. The battle pod could whip speedily around a spherical lattice framework in any direction at the gunner's will. Pleera commanded them to stay in formation near Tharsos and to remain on high alert, ready to make an instant response to any Xenobot incursion. In the conference room, when the alarm rang out, conversation ceased. Almost at once, a report came through the intercom system. 4 Xenobot warcraft appeared in our proximity and were instantly repulsed by an EMP. Ocean is on highest alert. All deferred to the janitor for a decision about what they ought to do, but he said nothing. The starmen were eager for action. All 3 of them turned toward Richard with inquiring, even pleading looks. He nodded. "Please excuse us," said Zip, as the 3 starmen pushed their chairs back and stood up. Commander Lewis also arose to join them. "You too, Kateri, please," said Richard Nolan to his assistant. "Maintain contact with us. A fleet of Xenobots is now attacking." The message from the janitor was impressed upon the mind of everyone in the room. Consternation broke out. Richard turned to the starmen and gestured urgently for them to keep going. Followed closely by Commander Lewis and Kateri Tegakwithu, they raced for the exit. As the starmen ran through the corridor to the command center, the alarm began again. With a surge of adrenaline, they redoubled their speed and in seconds shot into the bright room where Pleera was giving commands in a crisp voice. Scatter bombs launch at once. Activate laser diffusion shields. Battle spheres and fire wasps deploy under your captain's orders. Wait on my command to attack. Pleera was obviously too intent on defensive operations to answer questions, so the starmen did not approach her. The others in the room were equally busy following her orders. There was no one who could brief the starmen, Lewis, and Kateri Tegakwithu, and they did not want to disturb the Amanians. Having done its work, the alarm died down. "Over there," said Commander Lewis, and led the way to the operations tank in the center of the great room. Inside the tank, local space was shown in 3 dimensions. Tharsis was depicted as a charcoal-colored mass surrounded by tiny orange lights that were the fire wasps and small pearlescent orbs that obviously represented the battle spheres. A hazy green ball, barely visible, surrounded Tharsis, showing the laser diffusion shield. At the edge of the tank were red lights moving rapidly toward Tharsis and spreading out to surround it. Sprays of white lines were extending out from Tharsis toward the sites where the red lights had first appeared. Even as the five people took their places at the guardrail, the white lines burst apart like fireworks. "The scatter bombs," grunted Commander Lewis. "Eight fleets of eight," observed Joe. 64 Xenobot warcraft. They must have come through hyperspace eight at a time and then quickly separated. They're moving to encase us in a sphere." "How did they know where we are?" asked Mark of no one in particular. Sip and Kateri paid close attention to the action that showed inside the tank. As they watched, several of the scatter bombs connected with their targets, and the Xenobot warcraft erupted into consuming fireballs that quickly vanished. Other scatter bombs, however, were lasered into oblivion, while still others passed their targets and sailed off into deep, starless space. "Why aren't the Xenobot ships attacking Tharsis yet?" asked Sip aloud. "Fire wasps and battle spheres attack," called out Pleera. Instantly, the fleet of defending ships shot out from the asteroid. Under their captains, each had selected a Xenobot attacker and raced to the engagement. "The Xenobots are only 1,000 miles away and closing," said Joe. There was an edge of anxiety in his voice. "The janitor said that if the Xenobots don't have a power station in place, we are able to defeat them," said Kateri. "That doesn't mean we will win every battle," snapped Commander Lewis. His concentration made him sound almost curt. His jaw was working. "With superior numbers and maybe some luck, they can overcome us, and they know that Tharsis is our flagship. They're trying to take it out before the war has begun." As Lewis finished speaking, the first of the defending ships came into battle proximity with its Xenobot foe. One Xenobot ship fired a laser cannon at Tharsis, but the diffusion shield absorbed the beam, flaring dirty brown briefly in the operations tank before returning to its usual green. Suddenly everyone gasped. All Xenobot ships fired laser cannons at once. The laser diffusion shield turned murky brown, appearing as a solid mud-colored ball. The lights dimmed inside Tharsis, and the symbols inside the operation tank flickered and wavered. Gradually, they returned to normal. Kateri, the woman's name, burst through her compad. "Sorry, sir," she gasped. "What's happening?" It was Robert Nolan. His assistant reported the situation. Suddenly, there were cries of alarm from the personnel in the command center, and the ship-wide alarm sounded for the third time. Inside the operations tank, more red lights were appearing. One group of eight after another took a place at the outskirts of the battle arena. "There are too many," said Commander Lewis. "If they all coordinate their attack, they can overwhelm the diffusion shield." Zip's already rapid pulse quickened even more. He could feel his heart beating fast and hard in his chest. He felt abruptly that the Xenobots might actually be succeeding in destroying Tharsis. As he glanced at his friends, he saw that their knuckles were white where they gripped the guardrail. Then he heard Pleera giving orders. "Charge the hyperdrive. Fighters, abandon engagement and return to Ocean immediately. Lasers lock on targets and fire at my command." In the tank, Zip saw that the orange and pearlescent lights had begun to race back toward Tharsis. "Fire!" shouted Pleera. The laser diffusion shield that surrounded Tharsis disappeared for a split second, and laser beams lanced outward from Tharsis in every direction. Only three of the closest Xenobot attackers exploded. All others put up their own laser diffusion shields. "They were watching for that," thought Sip. "Whenever our shield goes down, theirs are set to go up automatically. They know that we will only drop our shield to launch a laser attack. They've learned from their mistakes." A second or two later, all Xenobot ships fired laser cannons in unison once again. The shield around Tharsis restored as soon as the defensive laser cannons had fired turned mud brown a second time, and the power inside the asteroid dimmed noticeably. The Xenobot attackers, now numbering well over 100, had nearly completed their englobement of Tharsis. Bleera shouted that the laser cannons on both sides of Tharso should select targets in a narrow field. Tharso's laser shields could absorb the concerted attack of 100 ships, but no laser shield on a ship could survive the concentrated attack of several laser cannons from Tharso's. Zip nodded admiringly. Bleera was going to blow two holes in the Xenobot's formation. Fire, she commanded. Six Xenobot ships on either side of Tharso's erupted into fireballs. As more than half of the personnel in the command center broke into cheers, Zip glanced at the screens that provided information on the hyperdrive. His eyes opened wide when he saw that the charge had only advanced to about the halfway mark. Then he understood. So much energy was going into keeping the diffusion shield at maximum strength and in firing all lasers when Bleera commanded that it was slowing the charge rate for the hyperdrive. To speed up the charge would weaken the defenses, a fatal move, but to step up the defenses would remove Tharso's only possible retreat. Bleera was trying to keep both strategies in balance. Zip gazed into the operations tank and saw that all the fire wasps and battle spheres had returned to Tharso's and presumably were docking inside the hangar. All at once a collective gasp arose from the personnel in the command center. Zip raced to Pleera's side where she stood transfixed gazing at the viewscreen. It was written in Amanyan and whipped by too quickly for Zip to read. "What is it?" he dared ask the commander of Ocean. "They've launched a swarm of nuclear weapons," she whispered. "Our diffusion shield cannot stop them. We are at the center of the multitude. We cannot move. If one strikes, Ocean will be severely damaged. If too many get through, we will be destroyed." "Lock onto the bombs," Bleera cried out. "Fire on my command. All personnel, secure your positions and prepare for impact." In the command post, the Amanyans rarely used chairs, preferring to work standing up. Now all took chairs and strapped themselves in. The hairs at the back of Zip's neck prickled. This could be it, he thought. The Xenobots know that we cannot direct our lasers at their ships the next time we fire. If they're smart, they will automate their attack lasers on Tharso's when our shield goes down next, rather than automate their own shields. We can defend against nuclear missiles or laser cannons, but not both at the same time. He glanced over at the hyperdrive sector and saw that the full charge was still nearly 2 minutes away. Joe and Mark moved quietly next to Zip, and he could tell from their expressions that they had analyzed their situation as well as he had. While he watched the figures, Joe and Mark strapped themselves into nearby chairs. How long would it take the missiles to reach Tharso's, Zip wondered. Could they make a hyper jump before the missiles would strike? How close was Bleera going to cut? Fire, shouted the Amanyan commander. Simultaneously, three things happened. The laser diffusion shield went down. Amanyan lasers destroyed most of the nuclear missiles, and Xenobot lasers struck Tharso's. The ship's lights were nearly out as energy was instantly down from non-vital systems to protect the ship's vulnerable sites. "Nuclear impact in 6 seconds," called out a voice in the half-light. So monstrous an announcement was more than Zip could register. He was suddenly distracted when he saw Bleera leap out of her seat and bang her fist down onto the control console. With a sudden shock, the Starman realized he had not found a chair himself where he could strap himself in, and there was none close by. Just as he began to look around for the closest place of safety, the asteroid rocked violently. Everything went completely dark, and Zip could feel the floor dropping from under him.